All right, I'm going to get started. Perfect timing. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Windsor, and I realized I should have looked at my slides and mirrored like the gentleman said because I'm not paying attention. So let me see if I can do that. Otherwise, I can't see where I am. The volume. So one of the interesting things about package management is there are no packages that go away. The problem just gets accumulatively bigger. Layers of sedimentation to the end of time, new versions, new packages. And God help us, with AI people writing out new packages even more, it's just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. NPM, of course, is a special contributor to this universe. So just to put it in some concrete things, this is not the biggest registry. And if you look hard, you can figure out this registry rhymes with must, or Bates, or something like that. There's a lot of data, right? Does anybody see a number that stands out here as kind of like the odd number on this picture? Anyone?
What?
Seven. Seven human beings, two of which are kind of paid because Alpha Omega. The rest are volunteers. Anybody feel comfortable about that? Right. This is on the order of Google a decade or so ago. Let's look at the math here. So one of the problems that people have is they actually conflate open source software and open source infrastructure. And package managers and registries are one kind of infrastructure. Ecosystems is another, right? So critical public good, everybody get that. Freeze and beer, love it. Freeze and speech, yeah. Freeze and puppies, well, that actually costs money. You have to take care of your puppies, and we have the problem in both cases. But the cost per use for open source software converges towards zero. The more people using it, doesn't cost more. The effort to produce it, multiply. The cost per use on packages, it goes up towards infinity. Especially as we start asking more of the package systems. So these are not good pictures. So like that, about per year, 10 trillion downloads. Thank you for helping get the data. For perspective, anyone want to take a guess at a large, widely used service, generally thought of as like one of the biggest things on the internet, what their traffic is per year? Say Google?
Yeah.
It's less. Okay. Now this is aggregate across all the package registries. But thank you, Mike. Like, this is run by, you know, on the order of 25, 30 people across a bunch of disparate systems, each of which is despairingly and annoyingly different, and reinventing the same wheels. So this was it. Like, okay, how many queries? I literally asked, how many queries? 5.9 trillion. Okay, so we got some really, like, scary things going on here. So let's play a game. Okay, this is when Michael remembers to go switch to the cool new slide and can't navigate a keyboard to save his life. Does anybody remember the game Family Feud? All right, so shout out. What are the costs? Where do some of the costs come from? Anyone?
Traffic.
Bandwidth, great, okay, yeah. I'm gonna pretend I can type. All right, I'm gonna stop. Yay, way to go, okay.
Storage.
Okay, I'm gonna save us time. Oh wait, it was here. Storage costs. Anyone else?
Vulnerabilities.
What?
Vulnerabilities.
No, they don't do that much, actually. But let's go with abuse. Right? Or Mike's favorite, SRE, right?
No.
Or shall we talk about malware?
Yeah.
There we go, we got that, okay. We'll just work our way down this list here. Publisher support. You know, when people publish, what do they do, Mike? What's the first thing they do? Lose their goddamn accounts.
Yep.
Right? You actually do fix bugs on this stuff, right?
Do
you occasionally add features? You do. What comes last? Anyone want to guess what comes last on this list? What's that?
Documentation.
It's not even on the list. Come on.
Salaries.
Nope. There's no payment here. What?
Maintenance.
No, that was sort of in the bug fixes. How about we talk about security? Oh, wait, no. All right. I think I've made my point. Try to go back to this. Okay, so when we start talking about how we're going to pay for all this, right, everybody breaks into bandwidth jail. We should charge for downloads, right? Charge for bandwidth. It's costing all that money, right? Some of the graphs show something like that. It'd be great, right? What happens if you start charging for bandwidth? Everyone's going to cash, right?
Okay.
Not bad. Mike's like, okay, yes, sign me up, right? But from my perspective, the gap here is not just the bandwidth problem, because in fact, Mike, how much do you spend your money from PyPI on bandwidth each year?
It's donated.
It's zero.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to Fastly. In fact, let's just have a little moment of applause to Fastly, right? And Brian here running Sonatype's Maven Central doesn't get a penny from Fastly. In fact, he's the other way around. He's actually subsidizing PyPI with the money he spends on that. It works out really well. It's a circle. Foundation membership. So if you donate to the Python Software Foundation or the Rust Foundation or become a member of some of these things like that, some of their budget goes towards this, right? A disturbingly large amount of the work that actually keeps these things going and moving us towards security comes from Alpha Omega and STF. Right? Pause right there. That is discretionary, year by year. We're hoping to keep going, not built into the model. And so if I lose the OpEx wars 1 year, Mike is screwed.
Yep.
Sober point. All right? And then a lot of in-kind donations, Fastly, AWS, like that, keep the infrastructure going. Right?
Tokens.
Tokens, yeah. Good luck with that. So let's talk about money. Money is awkward. Right, in open source, we start charging for this stuff. I was like, well, it's free. We're supposed to be here for free. We got to do this for free. Great. Good luck with that. It's not ending well. Right? There's some links in this deck to like a deeper report with all kinds of analysis that Claude produced some incredible charts for and like that. But the curves look like this. Costs, income. Right? We've already crossed the line. We're living on borrowed time. So one of the awkward things is people are like, well, we're a charity. We're not supposed to charge for things. This is a list of charities that charge for things. Is it reasonable to go to a university? Well, some countries here in Europe, I acknowledge, you can go to university for free. It's awesome, right? So I realize that that message doesn't always work as well here as it might elsewhere. But at the end of the day, it is entirely reasonable to charge for services. In fact, if you don't, people tend to abuse them. Isn't that what's happening right now? Brian lives a particular joy where some companies have felt that Maven Central is a perfect way to publish every single thing that ever happened to your package 1,000 times a day until Brian calls you up and says, what the fuck? So this is normal. So let's talk about how we might start charging for revenue streams. And let's see what could possibly go wrong. Right? So let's say we start, like the pricing unit was bandwidth. What will happen? Right? Well, we already established that one. I stole my own words. We'll cache. Right? What do you think is going to happen if you start charging consumers, like the iTunes model? You pay per package. We'll do the 99 cents per package, and you get to use it to the end of time. Right? How's that going to play out? Well, first of all, the package registries are going to hear from the package maintainer saying, well, I get 50% or 70% of that, right? So now that, and then the cost of dealing with all those customers and paying money like that, whoof, ask Apple about how much money they spend keeping their customers happy at some level and advertise. You get revenues. It gets weird, right? But more importantly, there's no DRM here. This stuff is free. So here, can I copy your left pad, please, right? That'll happen all the time. Let's say we charge, I type it. I apologize. I'll fix this later on. This is producers. So now you're a publisher of a package. We should charge you for the fact that we're giving you umpty-ump bandwidth and things like that, right? This will go great, right? Oh, sorry, this is, I'm sorry, I got it right. This is consumers where you do a subscription model, right? Mike, can I borrow your Netflix account? I need to download and build my new package, right? Charge publishers, great. Announcing shitty-ass company over here now has their own dedicated package registry for the packages from them. You as a consumer will now have to know that whole space, and of course, they're going to run it really well and really securely. It's going to be awesome, right? No. Right, exactly. Fragmentation, balkanization, whatever phrase you want, right? One of the popular concepts, and we are working towards this because there are legs here, is to do things like enterprise features. Enterprises care about their namespace a lot. They care about the fact that when Bob or Mary creates a package working at Food Corp, right, that when they leave Food Corp, they don't keep the keys to the package with them. It belongs to the company. It's a reasonable thing, but not actually universally available today. So that's great. We could do that, right? It'll be great, right? Yeah, it'll be awesome. They're not really dying over this. Nobody's paying for it today. They're not like beating a path to Mike's door saying, if you do this, we'll give you $10,000 a month. Said nobody ever, right? So anybody got better ideas?
Advertising.
Great. Oh. The mitochondria of our ecosystem, right? Yeah. Think it through. You'll hate the answer, right? Looking ahead, right, we have Alpha Omega has been running a set of conversations with package registry folks for the past year. Honestly, half of it is just getting ourselves used to the concepts. This talk summarizes a lot of things that they actually contributed to the conversation, how we reason about it, think about it, and more diverse models, specifically so that as the ebb and flow of how it works out and how people react to it changes, we're not waking up one day going, whoopsie, that model didn't work as well. They've worked around us, and now we have no money, right? When Alpha Omega funds, in particular, staffing roles like Mike. We have a hand here, Mike. And if there are any others we're funding here, please wave your hands. Thank you very much, Marty. Yeah. When we fund those people, we budget for 2 years which isn't a very long time in OPEX world, specifically so that if we don't win the OPEX wars in our particular funding organizations and they decide not to fund us this year, that we don't have to pull the rug out from Mike and Marty and others like that, right? That's a big deal. So, I did something wrong. What have I done? I've locked my laptop. So I would invite you, and again, the QR code will get you to this deck. It's also published on the FOSDEM site now. I did a bunch of deeper stuff, literally just firing up with Claude and having a good time asking it to produce ridiculously cool-looking charts that I never would have bothered to do. But go take a look at the data. Dig in, understand it yourself. And then by all means, come and join us. We'd love to have you in the conversation here. It is not a private club of conversation, but this is a topic that has historically been taboo. A few years ago, I even said, I talked about this, you remember the thing in DC, and awesome person who I like very much got up and says, this cannot be. He's changed his tune a little bit now, right? But I mean, this is part of the change that we all have to think about, and I'm here to start that conversation, and hopefully others will help figure it out, finish it. So with that, thank you very much. Here's the promised QR code. Am I on time? I think I have time for questions, too. I do. I'm not from Philippe. Sorry. Philippe is verboten. Right. That's just that you've broken into bandwidth jail. Way to go. If you do mirrors, you've solved the bandwidth problem, but you haven't solved the revenue problem.
There's no need to revenue when you have mirror.
You're missing the most important point. It is not about the bandwidth. They're not spending any money on bandwidth today, but the problem is they don't have enough money to spend on the very security features that we all desperately need to stop being a bunch of idiots NPM installing Foo when it's malware intensive or whatever. It is not, repeat after me, it's not about the bandwidth. Okay, mirrors would be great. You should all be caching. If you're bringing stuff into your supply chain today and you don't have an in-house cache for all the stuff you're using, you're a goddamn idiot. You're begging to be screwed by the next colors.js or whatever, somebody throwing a tantrum. So if you're not running a cache in your development organization today, go home and fix that now. All right, over there. Like I said, you should be caching and mirroring.
If you actually put a federated model that actually is spread around for several trusted entities, like universities, like we did 30 years ago, like with Linux distributions, with the bandwidth and everything was very, very narrow.
I'm all in favor of caching and mirroring to reduce the bandwidth load. It does not solve the problem I'm here to solve. But they're not spending any money on this. Fastly structure, I can count it on one finger. Right here. So the question was, enterprises tend to pay for security-related features and capabilities. There's some interesting ethical challenges in here in terms of charging for security that everybody would benefit from having. And there's also the problem that the enterprises that have woken up to this need today are currently buying it from some vendor. That's not a bad thing, but putting the public road utility in competition with the private towing service on the road, metaphorically, creates some other perverse incentives as well. These are the right questions, and at the end of the day, finding a way to get to the point where enterprise can look at this as a normal cost of doing business and have it show up in their OPEX as opposed into their OSPO donation budget is the goal of this process. Question over here.
What about how copyleft really helped open source, creating a new license where if you're earning money with the package registry, a certain percentage has to go to it, basically at the licensing level.
So can we achieve some sort of licensing model here tied to the distribution of the packages in some way? You're actually closer to the target than you think, but you're also smoking something spectacularly good, because if your solution is to change everybody's licensing model, the stuff that is currently available for free, right? And also, if you just imagine Matt Swozo with the OSS Rebuilder, fine, we'll just build it ourselves, because that's what Michael says to do in his other talks, which is stop pulling down other people's builds. And so you get, again, perverse incentives. But licensing and interpretive models of, at the end of the day, let's face it, the registries are effective monopolies. They own the namespace. You could put caching and mirroring in there, and you can even have licensing terms to that, right? But here's the thing. The cost of spinning up an alternative crappy registry, as Andrew has identified in so many cases, is almost zero. So the moment somebody says, great, my monopoly is awesome, I'm going to monetize monopolies, right? People will route around you. They have done this over and over again. So You have to find the, make it not worth their effort to go somewhere else, make it not worth their effort to try and build up popularity by building a free one that's really shitty, but somehow doesn't have to get, like.
Why do you keep pointing at me?
Because you keep finding all the data that points us to all the problems, right? How am I doing on time? I got a few more?
Yeah, a few more.
Okay. I went fast so I'd have questions, because the questions are actually the most interesting part of the conversation. But if you run out of questions, we can give people more time.
In your stats,
yes.
Did it have a breakdown of how much GitHub consumes in its actions runners?
So the question was, did we have any data about how much GitHub consumes?
Google started something called Google Code Hosting like 20 years ago because they thought that SourceForge was too big.
Right, so...
With GitHub, of course, are way past...
Way past that point, yeah. We all get addicted to, you know, various times of socially interactive engagements that happen and cause more addictive behaviors in other places. It's not the biggest problem we have, right? This is one of the bigger problems that we have. So I'll take one more question, then we'll go from there.
Even if you get the money, how do you divide it in a way that people don't fight with each other?
I love your questions. If we get the money, how do we do it in a way that... So part of the effective model that we have to come up with is one that allows us to measure the usage, the load, the impact on an ecosystem, so that we're not propping up ones that are probably dying or maybe need to die, right? And that we're not... depriving those that are carrying more load from appropriate revenue, right? I don't have the answers to those questions. We are talking about them. I love your questions are great. With that, I think...
We just have a fight club between all the maintainers of
Ring? I prefer to think of it as a benevolent dictator somewhere, but, you know, you, potato, potato, it doesn't end well no matter what, right? How am I doing on time?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right.
I haven't seen... Is Mike McQuay here?
Oh, I could give his talk. Well, I want to thank you all for answering my questions or answering for you. Have a great day.